From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters. Live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. There's no other place where I'd rather do my show. It's a picture-perfect opportunity, picture-perfect ambiance here with the high school Letterman's jackets. I'm surrounded by it to my left, to my right, behind me. Edison, Hoover, Sunnyside, Central, Bullard, Kerman, Sierra displayed to my right. To my left, Torres, Liberty, Madera. Madera's off to a hot start in football. Sanger West. Behind me, we got Clovis High, Parlier, Clovis North, Clovis West, and Kingsburg as well. And I get here around 9 o'clock when the store opens, and it never fails. Never fails. There's always somebody getting their Letterman's jacket fitted, getting the patches put on, displayed. They'll customize it. They'll do everything for you. So First String Sports, definitely the go-to place for all your high school sports needs. Of course, all the equipment, too. Even to my right, across from the counters, they got a full display of the hats. See, Bullard, Clovis West, Roosevelt is even there. Justin Garza, too. So come on down to First String Sports. They've been incredible supporters of student athletes here in the Central Valley, and I'm happy to be doing my show from their place of business. What a crazy, wacky, wild last couple of days of high school football. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be breaking all these wonderful games, these programs, the wackiness that was on display for the last couple of days. I'm going to be breaking it down. I'm going to be talking with a couple of coaches, a good friend of mine as well that knows the track in and out. Especially football and baseball, too. So excited for all that stuff. So I'll get to who's on the show in just a second. But if you guys missed any of the shows from this is show number five of the 2025-2026 school year, go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com. You can listen to past episodes. Even this one, let's say you're driving around town. You're like, hey, what's going on in the high school world? You listen for about 20 minutes. Hey, cool. Happy for that. Go back and listen to the rest of the episode. Also want to thank a new sponsor that we have here, Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply, located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. Well, this is the first full week of the three different levels of football. High school football. Been going on for a while. Just finished week three. College football in full display. And then the NFL. Two games have gone by in the NFL. That Thursday game, Eagles took care of the Cowboys. I had some adjectives I was going to throw in there, but I didn't. Last night's game, Chiefs and Chargers. Happy that the Chiefs lost, of course. And stay away from Fridays. Fridays are sacred. That's for high school sports. And I heard that's going to be the last one for a while, so thank goodness for that. But this is the first full weekend of football. And also, I found this stat. You guys might find it interesting. On September 6th, the year of our Lord, 2025, we are officially 68% done with the year 2025. 68%. Crazy. Crazy stuff. 2026 is next year. It doesn't make sense. So you see the Letterman's jackets here. You see the class of 2030, I'm seeing some of those pop up. That's wild. All right, so last night, let's get into some football stuff. Last night, we were able to broadcast on 1430 ESPN the Clovis West and Edison of Stockton game. That is one of three of the Edison schools that Clovis West is playing this year, three out of the first 4 weeks. Edison of Huntington Beach in week one, they fell to them. That game was away. Edison of Stockton last night. Edison of Fresno, they're playing next week. Clovis West is coming off of that big 43-14 win at Liberty last week. They dominated that game. Had great field position. talking about the Liberty game, and took advantage of a lot of situations. J.J. Howard threw 5 touchdowns in that one. So, right, could Clovis West keep it rolling? Right, I was curious to see with my own eyeballs what Clovis West looked like this season. Ton of young guys. Ton of young talent. Right? J.J. Howard, quarterback. Lot of, how should I phrase it? I don't know. Expectations is the right word. Again, only a sophomore. And a young sophomore, 15 years old. But, right, a lot of people wanted to see what J.J. was going to look like, because the first 2 games for Clovis West were away. What is it going to look like in their first home game? And he looked good in the first half especially. Clovis West drove down the field, actually got themselves in a 4th-and-15 situation. And Howard rolled out to the right, found R.J. Jefferson in the back of the end zone, toe tapper, got on the board for a 7-0 Clovis West. Then they scored a touchdown in the second quarter on a pass to Dom Tafoya, who was out all of last year. So that was good to see Tafoya back on the field. So they got a 2-point conversion as well. So 15-0 heading into halftime. Defense really, really stood out in that first half as well. Coach Eric Brown did a fantastic job switching things up. Lot of movement, man. Moving safeties around, bringing linebackers up on the line of scrimmage, showing blitz, pulling out of it. It's kind of a master class defensively for Clovis West. So adjustments, right? Adjustments are huge at halftime. What's Edison going to do in the second half? What's Clovis West going to do? So Titus Dimmer is a stud on the defensive end for Clovis West. The dude's all over the field. Had a pick 6 in the third quarter. Got another 2-point conversion to make it 23-0. The kid's a really, really good football player. Then, as sometimes high school teams tend to do, is made some few mistakes in the second half. And Edison Huntington Beach scored a touchdown. Got another touchdown late. But it wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. A few things could have been different from Clovis West angle, from their point of view. We'll break that down a little bit more. Got Tanvir Singh coming on. We're going to talk about that. Tanvir is producing the show. Segment number 2, we break down all the scores. We're going to talk about that. But, great first half defensively and made the most of the opportunities offensively for Clovis West. Second half, no offensive touchdowns. Just got that pick 6 from Dimmer. But, they look pretty good. Obviously, a lot of things to improve on. Again, taking on Edison or Fresno at home and then Turlock away. So 2 very winnable games for Clovis West. All right. On the show, so I teased a little bit about who's coming on. So after this break, I'm going to be listing all the scores in the Central section from yesterday and from Thursday. There were 51 games played last night. And, gosh, there were some plays or some games won on the final play of the game, back and forth between Clovis and Frontier. How about Clovis? They look so strong in those first 2 games. Go to Frontier, and they lose, 27-26. My buddy Trevor Horn, who was at the game, he's going to send me some updates on how that game went through. But, yeah, tons of action, tons of storylines in that one. After I break down the games, around 10:42 or so, I got Dinuba coach C.J. Lester coming on the show. Big win, 21-16 at Kingsburg last night. It's the first win for Dinuba. They have a really, really tough schedule. Really tough schedule. So always fun to catch up with Coach Lester. Top of hour number 2, Austin Kemp is going to come on for about a half an hour. And Austin and I had a podcast for a couple years about Clovis Unified Athletics. And it's always great when Austin comes on. We're going to be chopping up the track, breaking down each team. What do we like so far within their first 3 games? What do we think that we'd like to see more from them? What's the outlook for all the squads there? Austin's just a great wealth of information, has some good insight as well. So always great to talk to Austin. After that, Boulder coach Lewis Franklin's coming on. On Thursday, the Battle of Barstow returned. And It was a bloodbath. Let's just call it what it is. 56-0. And the Battle of Barstow was always a huge thing back in its heyday. They brought it back last year. Again, another dominating performance from Bullard. And then the 56-0 on Thursday. My opinion that is probably the last time they're going to play for a while. The talent that Bullard put out on the field was really good. And unfortunately, you know, Hoover, you know, they've won some games this year, won some games last year, won a playoff game. But, the talent discrepancy was clearly evident in that game. So Coach Franklin, you know, he's doing a good job there. His son's a quarterback. So we'll be talking about his season, what to look forward to with the Bullard Knights this year. All right, a couple of final things before we hit the break. Well, one is I got to let you guys know, my voice might be cracking. I got a little bit of a cough. If you hear me, you know, step away, you hear a big cough, that's me trying to clear up some stuff. I was on the radio for, 3.5 hours straight last night. But, and then a couple more hours today. So I'm going to get through the day. Fun fact about Doss Palace and Bakersfield High. So a friend's at Cal High Sports, the authority on everything athletic-related in high schools in California. Their archives are fantastic. Their state records, that's worth the price of, $6 a month. It's nothing. So make sure you subscribe to Cal High Sports, their rankings and all that. So they keep a track of career wins, right, by every school. Bakersfield and Long Beach Poly for a long time were going back and forth. Actually, Long Beach Poly took the lead, but last year Bakersfield won 11 games. Long Beach Poly went 6-6. So Bakersfield went ahead. Bakersfield won on Thursday. So they have 3 wins on this season. So storied history with Bakersfield and Poly. But there's another Central Valley school that's right there, Doss Palace. They lost last night to Liberty Madera. They won their first 2 games, though, and have 698 all-time reported wins. With 2 more, they're going to join Bakersfield and Long Beach Poly, with the only 3 schools, as the only 3 schools in state history, with 700 or more wins. Pretty cool. Doss Palace started playing football in 1923, and they hold the state record with 50 league championships. Very cool stuff. Fun facts. All right, let's take a break. I'm going to talk about the games from the last 2 nights. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, so I mentioned some of these wild games for the last couple nights as the Beastie Boys fade out. Love that. So there were quite a few games played on Thursday. Bakersfield, that we just talked about right before the break, the most wins in California high school history, took care of Stockdale. Man, that Stockdale program has been going down for a while since David Carr played there. Yes, David played there. Derek played at Bakersfield Christian. But Bakersfield 50, Stockdale 14. How good is this Bakersfield team? Well, we knew what they did last year. Went to the Division 1A championship game, lost to Liberty. But they got a good team this year. They got a good team. Graduated a few guys, but some JV guys have really stepped up. The running game is really strong. Buchanan defeated Edison 48-30. Buchanan jumped out to a huge lead in that one. Edison scored a few touchdowns late. So the Bears now 2-1 on the season. Let me go to my spreadsheet here. That opening game loss, the week one loss that Buchanan had to that Bakersfield team, beat Kennedy, beat Edison, and now they're going to be taking on Liberty on September 11th, a Thursday game. Next week at home. That's going to be a huge deal. I'm going to be there at that one to watch. They're going to have a great scene, great atmosphere, honoring veterans on that day as well. So that'll be an interesting one. Can Buchanan match the physicality of Bakersfield? I don't know. We'll find out. Bullard, we mentioned 56, Hoover 0. We're going to be talking with Coach Franklin later in the show. Kennedy of Delano, good team, lost to Buchanan last week, right? Division III team playing a Division I team. 41-7 over Highland. Lemoore, 42, LD 6. I'm hearing Lemoore has some ineligibility issues, and they had to forfeit a game. Can't confirm that, but I need to get some more information, but that's kind of what I heard. North of Bakersfield defeated Delano 44-0. Again, these are Thursday games. South defeated Golden Valley 21-17. St. Joseph went into Hanford and beat them 31-6. Be careful of the St. Joseph team. These guys are dangerous. Defense is legit, holding Hanford to 6 points. Remember in week one, they at home, they barely lost to Tulare Union, 27-24. St. Joseph's a base D1 school. Are they in the upper echelons? Are they with the, can they compete with the track schools? You know, the Clovises and the Clovis East and the Centrals and Clovis West. Not sure. They may get a shot at them. We'll see how that plays out. So keep an eye on St. Joseph. Sunnyside defeated Ridgeview 22-14. Tehachapi all over Taft 49-7. All right, so last night's game. These are in alphabetical order, so there's no rhyme or reason as far as leagues and divisions and all that. So I'm just going off of the highschoolratings.com page where they list all the scores. And they're calling this non-league action. Then there's interstate action at the bottom of the page. So Aurora Grande with a good win over San Luis Obispo, 42-28. They're scoring a lot of points. You know, not used to seeing Aurora Grande score, over 40 points. But here they go, 42 in last night's win over SLO. Avenel and Riverdale, 7-0. Low-scoring game. The Buccaneers win that one. Bakersfield Christian, 42. Central Valley Christian, 3. Now, is Bakersfield Christian the best team in Bakersfield? They very may well be. Better than Liberty? Probably. Better than Frontier? Maybe. Frontier just beat Clovis. Yeah, Coach Darren Carr and his squad, they're based at D2. Remember, they could petition to go up to D1, but they are the D2 defending champs, so we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, Bakersfield Christian all over Central Valley Christian. Clovis East, 29, Sanger, 6. So the Timberwolves are now 3-0 on the season. Sanger Falls, another one. They lost to Hanford, beat Dinuba. That defense is legit. That front seven's pretty nasty. Returned a lot of guys from last year. So when you got a good defense, you're going to be in a lot of football games. They proved it by whooping up on Sanger pretty good, 29-6. Dinuba and Kingsburg, Dinuba with their first win of the year, 21-16. We'll be talking with Coach Lester after this break. Exeter over Lindsay, 12-7. Farmersville over Tranquility, 20-14. Fireball over Carruthers, 21-14. I did mention that Frontier and Clovis game, and got a couple texts from my friend Trevor Horn. Just finished watching that game, and give me a little synopsis of it. Skip to the very bottom. He just said, incredible game. And judging from the scoring back and forth, it absolutely was. So 7-7 after Merrill scored from a short distance. Frontier response, make it 7-7. Deegan Rose to Sterling Edwards for a 74-yarder. Exciting play. 14-7 at the half. Then a 9-yard touchdown run from Frontier to tie it up 14. Then Clovis scores again, a 30-yard TD run from Merrill, but the missed PAT. Crucial miss. Frontier then has the ball. The quarterback fumbles it at the 1-yard line. At Clovis's 1-yard line. Lyman recovers it. Then on the next play, they run it in. So another huge play goes Frontier's way, up 21-20. Clovis Caruso pushes it in. So Clovis responds. 2-point fly sweep, stopped by Frontier. Clovis now up 26-21. Under 2 minutes, the quarterback, Campbell, throws it to David Riley on a play action. The conversion failed, but they hold on to win 27-26. I'm surprised by that score. Mentioned all week how Frontier has really struggled to score points. Only scored 14 total points, 0-2 on the season. But Clovis couldn't get it done at Frontier. So, yeah, a lot of question marks about that one. Frontier, let me look to see who they got next. Spreadsheet, scroll down. Frontier's got Lincoln away and then a bye week, and then they're going to be playing Clovis North. I think we're going to have that game at 14:30 ESPN, so that game's shaping up to be a good one as well. Let me skip down. I need to bring in Tanvir right now. I'm taking my old sweet time breaking down some of these games. So Tanvir and I were at the Clovis West game when they defeated Lincoln, Edison of Stockton, 23-13. So Tanvir, what were some of your, you did a great job doing the stats. Always fun having you right next to us, feeding us information. So what are some of your takeaways from that game? I mentioned Clovis West played a really good first half, struggled a little bit in the second half, but what were your main takeaways from that one?
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a back-and-forth affair, to be honest with you. I think that both teams had the ability to win this game. On Clovis West's side, I was pretty impressed in the first quarter, especially with J.J. Howard. I thought he showed some impressive throwing ability. He had like a 50-yard rolling out of the pocket, just bomb to his receiver, Rolando Jefferson. That was impressive. And then he also had that back-of-the-end-zone touchdown. And these are the flashes that I think that show the promise that this kid has in the coming years. And I also thought that his connection with Jefferson looked elite in that entire first half. But Howard had, you know, he had four completions on that first drive, but he only had three for the rest of the game. And, you know, that's a mix of him not being comfortable in the pocket, especially you guys called it Francis Tambu, who was wrecking havoc in that game. And I also thought there was a lack of some pass concepts that he could work with throughout the last three quarters. But regardless of the cool off, right? Like the players like Steve Macias, he had 19 carries for 101 rush yards. And then, as you stated, your guys' player of the game, Titus Dimmer, he had an interception for a touchdown and a fumble recovery. And so all of these surrounding players really did come up huge for the Clovis West team. I also thought the Clovis West D-line, they started off a little cool, but really turned up the pressure in clutch scenarios. They had three sacks and a fumble recovery in that fourth quarter, so big up for them. On the Edison side of things, I thought it was really good that they were extending drives for a long time. I actually looked at the play sheet. So in the first half, Edison had two drives, one a drive of 14 plays and another drive of 11 plays, and both of them resulted in 0 points. So for how much they were able to get the ball in good areas, especially on Clovis West side of the field, they stalled in crucial situations where, you know, they could have scored. And this made the game close, but it felt like if they got a touchdown in one of those drives, you could really see an even closer game going into the end of that Edison versus Clovis West side. I think Edison also seemed to have an impressive short passing game, and I thought quarterback Devin Rasmussen has had multiple throws that impressed me personally. He was testing the boundaries very well. But the Clovis West DBs were very locked down in the long pass scenarios all night long, and especially at the end of that second quarter where they were driving. So when you got to crunch time, you needed that chunk play. There wasn't really a matchup that they felt they could exploit. So shout out to the Clovis West DBs on that one. But big win for Clovis West overall. Those were kind of my thoughts about how the game went.
And playmakers make plays, right? And that's right. That's what comes down to a lot of the football games. And man, just think, Tanvir, if Clovis West, RJ Howard doesn't come down with that touchdown catch in the back of the end zone on 4th and 15, it could be a different ball game, right? Because they only offensively, they really stalled in that second half, only got that pick six for their only points in the second half. But that was a huge play in the game. There were a couple other sacks as well that Clovis West had on Rasmussen, the quarterback. But, man, what if they don't make that play, right? It's a different ball game.
Yeah, it's a game of inches, and for sure, like, even when I was typing it out, as soon as Howard threw that ball to Jefferson, right?
Yeah.
He,
yeah.
I had written it down. It is incomplete because it was like 2-on-1 in the back of the end zone. And I was like, I could not believe that he came down with that. But, you know, big play by those guys. The connection between those two guys looked really, really good. So I am expecting those two guys to have a very good connection for the rest of the season. But that was definitely a highlight play in a game that honestly had a lot of highlight plays. I think also Edison's, what was it, their second touchdown? It was a 30-yard pass to bring the game within 10. That was a very impressive throw and catch as well. So you had a lot of highlight plays in this game, and that was definitely probably the best one of them all.
Yeah, I agree. And right, the fourth quarter, you know, the Clovis West coaching staff are going to go back and look at the film and like, oh my gosh, right, this didn't go our this we should have done this. All right, those right. are the things that you're going to clean up late in the game. So, Tavier, thanks for jumping on and giving us a good synopsis of that game. Really appreciate you.
Yep, great to talk to you.
All right, so Edison of Stockton is actually playing Central next week. They're coming to Central. So, yeah, they're taking on another track school. All right, let's get through some of these other scores from last night. And one of the games of the night was Garza and Kerman. Garza comes away with a 29-27 win. Was able to get a text from Coach Ferris from the game-winning play. So here's a scenario. So down in this one, they're at the 5-yard line, last play of the game, right? You score, you win. You don't score, game's over. They had zero timeouts. So 5-yard line, what do? Direct snap into the backfield. Dude rushes in for a touchdown. Congrats to Justin Garza. Great game plan, great call. And those two teams, man, the last few years when they've matched up, they've been instant classics. So congrats to the Guardians and Coach Ferris and his staff for that win. Golden West 45, Mission Oak 27. Man, those guys just keep putting up crazy, crazy stats. Independence defeated Centennial down in Bakersfield, 38-13. Liberty Madero with a nice win against Dos Palos, 35-26. Madero, they keep putting up points. Where they got, 42 points on the season. Defeated Paso Robles. They gave up 28. But their freshman running back, the guy is an absolute dude. He's a dude. Had another great game. McFarland over Granite Hills. Look at this one, 50-42. McLean over Mendota, 50-0. McLean hasn't given up a point this year. I'd like to see McLean. Maybe how about McLean Bullard next year? I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah, let's get those two teams matching up. Menachie defeated Chavez 41-0. Rossi with a nice win over Reedley, 27-6. Porterville over Selma, 41-0. Roosevelt, 26. Atascadero, 14. Coach McCoy doing a great job there at Roosevelt. Sanger West over Fowler, 33-25. Sierra Pacific, 27. Corcoran, 21. Templeton got a good team this year. Defeated Kalinga. You know the success that Kalinga had last year. Almost won a state championship, 47-14. All right, keep an eye on Templeton. Tulare Union and Redwood. This is a game that we had earmarked all week. I said first one to 50 wins. I set the over-under at 80. Oh, I was right on one of them. 49-42, Tulare Union comes away with the win. Now, talk about back and forth like that Clovis and Frontier game. That game was back and forth. We're following that on social media. Great win for Tulare Union, a barn burner at home for those guys. Tulare Western 56, Mount Whitney 6. Wasco defeated Morro Bay 55-16. Washington Union 28, Torres 21. And Woodlake, after a 48-0 shutout last week, gets another shutout 56-0 over Hanford West. Central East, I have more time to talk about this one, with a nice comeback win 44-20 over Turlock at home. Brandon Smith rushed for 179 yards and two rushing touchdowns and one receiving touchdown. So nice comeback win after losing to Grant last week. Talked about Clovis West win over Edison, 23-13. Madera South defeated Delhi, 24-13. Oaks Christian, 35. Liberty of Bakersfield, 28. So the Patriots are now 0-3 on the season. San Joaquin Memorial all over Castaic, 49-0. And one more for you, Santa Ynez over San Marcos, 41-14. All right, there's a little bit of a breakdown. We'll take a break, and we're going to be talking with Dinuba coach C.J. Lester on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, listening to it on 1430 ESPN. Maybe you're listening online. I don't know. Maybe you're watching or listening through my Facebook Live page. However you're listening, thank you guys. We try to keep it positive here on this show. Hey, lots of good stuff to talk about. There's enough crazy stuff going on in the world. How about 2 hours of just high school football talk? Talking about all the great student athletes and the great wins that happen on Friday nights. And a great win last night for Dinuba, for the Emperors. Started off the season 0-2, go into enemy territory that is Kingsburg High School. Great stadium, great environment always there at Kingsburg. But the Emperors, they come away with a win, 21-16 last night. Always great to catch up with Coach C.J. Lester, kind enough to join us right now on the show. So, CJ, how you doing, my friend, man? I'm sure it was a very good morning for you.
Oh, man, it's been a while, man, especially when we play this team. I mean, yeah, I haven't beat him in the 4 years I've been the head coach. So, shoot, getting this one, we've had some close ones against them, and they always find a way to win it. And this time it went our way, man. So, it's a very good morning this morning.
I'm going to get into the game in just a second with you, but I want to talk about the preparation leading up to the game and what was the message from you and your staff to the team all week. You guys faced a really good Sanger team in week one, an explosive offense in Golden West in week two. So 0-2 before, you know, taking on Kingsburg. But what were you preaching to the team? What was the message you guys had all week for them?
I think these first three games, we knew at the end of last season, just like these first three games are going to tell us kind of like who we are, you know. And if we could get one of these three games, because, I mean, Sanger was a D1 team last year. Golden West was a D2 semifinalist, and Kingsburg was in, you know, competing in contention for in the D2 playoffs last year. So we knew, like, if we could get one of these games, we know where we can be at the end of the season this year and where we're going to stand, you know. So I think this is built in all off season, you know, and our kids, our biggest thing is just like, don't quit, you know, and just play with, you know, just relentless effort and continue to ride the wave, because there's going to be adversity. And then our biggest thing off season, how do we respond to things? You know, last year we didn't respond too well when we had a little bit of adversity, and it kind of showed, you know, it showed very, very much. And this year, you know, we have a young team, man, but we have 36 underclassmen and played with 13 seniors last night. So just seeing the resiliency that they had being down 10-0 early, they knew, like, we're not quitting, you know, and I saw that in their face, and just seeing them execute, you know, throughout the game, and it was just awesome to see, man.
All right, so let's walk through the game a little bit. So looking at the box score here, you just mentioned it. You guys were down 10-0 in the first quarter on the road and responded with a touchdown in each quarter. How did you get that second touchdown, and did you kind of feel the momentum switch at that time? Or, sorry, your first touchdown in the second quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, we felt like, I mean, they're a great defensive team. Like, we saw them on film, and it's like, man, this might be the best defensive team that we've seen this year, you know, including Sanger and Golden West. And we know this type of game, it's going to be a physical game, and our offense just knew, like, if we can run the football, we're going to be fine. We have athletes on the perimeter. If we can get into their hands quick, and that was the biggest thing, get to their hands quick and let them make plays. And once we got that first touchdown late in the second quarter, and we knew, like, if we can just go into the half, you know, down three, we get the ball back at the half, and we're gonna go down there and score. And we knew defensively we're gonna get a stop. You know, that's kind of like our motto. You know, when we go into halftime, either offense is gonna score and defense gets a stop, or defense gets a stop and offense is gonna score. And that's kind of like what our mindset was. If we can get them into just being down three at the half, we're going to be okay going into that second half.
And then third quarter, you guys scored. Did you – you guys got the ball in the third quarter? You guys scored on the first possession? Is that how that worked?
Yeah, we got the ball and just kind of just drove it down. You know, our guys were pounded the football. You know, our run game was going, and we were running counter and counter and, you know, running duo, running our stuff that we do, you know. And it's just our guys, our O-line, man, you know, shout out to them. They knew what we were going to do, and they just kept doing it. You know, they knew we were going to run the ball and said, you know what, we're going to what we're here for. It's going to be a physical game, and we said it's going to be on the offensive line shoulders, and they did that. So I'm so proud of them.
And you guys went up, what, 21-10? Kingsburg got a late touchdown. So how did the game finally end? Did it end on your defensive side, or were you guys able to run out the clock?
We got in victory formation. That's always the goal, getting in victory formation. And once again, you know, our offense, you know, rang the bell. It's like, you know, their number was called again, you know, to just finish the game. And they got, I want to say, two or three first downs late in the game, and that killed it, you know. And once they did that, I was just like, man, we finally got them. And you could just see the excitement on everyone's eyes on the sideline and within the coaches, within the players, and, you know, the admin, everyone was excited because they knew this is the one that we wanted big. You know, out of all the three, you know, if we could get, you know, Golden West or Stanger, that'd be great, you know. But if there's one that we really wanted, it was that one last night.
And, what did the win mean so to you guys and to your program, right? You kind of explained it. You know, you've had some really big battles with the Vikings over the years. Admin was happy, but – like, for you personally, did you just feel a relief? Or when you look the kids in the eyes, you just see joy? I mean, what was the whole package reaction from you guys?
Oh, man, like, we had some guys crying after the game, man. I was like, man, it was awesome, you know, just seeing that stuff. And seeing our seniors some of our guys who've been, you know, three-year guys, and they lost to Kingsburg twice, you know, and yeah. We have some coaches that played, you know, played for us back when I first started, when I was just an assistant coach that lost to Kingsburg then. So it was a huge relief, man. And seeing those guys just excited and happy, man, I loved it, you know. And just having the staff that I have, man, I'm nothing without my staff. I'm nothing without these players. And just seeing the way they come together on a daily basis, even being 0-2, you know, last year I felt like we got 0-2 and our guys kind of packed it in, you know. These guys kind of saw the mistakes that we made, you know, this year and in the previous games. And they know, like, if they don't make those mistakes, they're in those games, you know. They're in contention to win those games. And they needed to learn how to win. And that's kind of like what was our theme these last couple weeks, is like we went 2-8 last year as a JV program and a varsity program. So, and we're a young team. We're 36, you know, underclassmen. And we got to learn to win, and seeing them put everything together and not quit, it was awesome. And they seen it, you know, and that's kind of like what we talked about. And being able to have that win at the end of it, you know, and not be one of those moral victory ones. Like, you know, if we do this, you know, we lose by 2 points or 3 points. Like, you guys are right there. You know, it's a lot better to come on the opposite side of that.
Exactly. We're talking to C.J. Lester, head coach at Dinuba. They had a huge 21-16 win at Kingsburg last night. All right, so give some shout-outs to some of the guys. Maybe they even performed that stepped up for you guys. Give some of your guys some love. Who are some dudes on your team?
Man, Nate Lopez, he fumbled early, but, man, he's a guy. He's been working his butt off all offseason. Tough kid. Not the biggest guy, but he has the heart of a lion, man, and just ran in between the tackles and always finished forward last night, and him doing that was big for us. And our offensive line, all the way down from Sebastian Guzman, our left tackle, and Israel Quiros, our right tackle. Both those guys were just instrumental of getting our run game going where it was supposed to be. And a huge shout out to our defense. We started three seniors last night on defense. Everyone else was underclassmen. And they rose to their level of training, man. We don't say rise to the occasion, man. We say rise to the level of training. And all week they just kicked offense, but they were just talking crap, you know, all all week and just intensity. They just brought the intensity all week, and we wanted them to have that last night, and they showed up. And having some guys out and some guys step up, it's huge, you know. Yeah, man, so I'm going to shout out our whole defense, and then offensively, Julian Hernandez, who he was one of our number one receivers last year. The ball too much in the first two games just because offensively we're trying to figure out what our identity is, and he had a big night last night, had a touchdown and had some big catches and some critical moments. We have our transfer Lorenzo Williams. He had some big catches last night, had some big runs, and not only that, man, those guys blocked their butts off on the perimeter, you know. If those guys are out there working and, you know, sometimes they get a hold, I'm like, hey, you know what, at least you're engaged and you're working. And they know that's what it's about. They play softball football, and I love to see that, man. And, yeah, shout out to our special teams, man. Special teams did great. Our punt unit, they were backed up in some areas, had some mismanaged punts, or mismanaged snaps, and they were able to figure it out and get the punt off. And they made some big plays last night. And I'm just proud of the way everything came together last night. Now that I'm talking about it and kind of visualizing everything over again, it's just like, complimentary football was our thing for yesterday, and they were able to do that, you know, and I'm so glad that they were able to get it against Kingsbury.
So next week, another rivalry game. You got Selma at home. The game against Golden West was a home game as well, but just kind of what are you looking forward to against those Bears? And just for people that don't know, you guys are still doing the Green Mile, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so talk about that too for those out there that don't know what that atmosphere looks like.
Man, every Friday, you know, our guys are getting warmed up, and every Friday the Green Mile bikers they go to our local quick shop here. They all get together in their motorcycles and they ride. They get escorted to the high school, and they line up our Green Mile walkway, and we have the law enforcement out there. We have the fire department out there, and they just line up this row, this walkway for our team, and the motorcycles are out there, and everyone's revving it up. You have the officers, you know, have their cars on, and man, it's such a great atmosphere for our guys, and it gives me chills every time it happens, man. I feel like, man, I need to get some gear on and play today.
And you're an alum of Dinuba High School as well, so man, you love that atmosphere.
Yeah.
Do you got to wear earplugs during that, or you're just going in clean?
No, I like letting the kids experience that. I kind of, you know, sit to the side. I'm a, you know, I like them to enjoy that moment, that their time, and you guys enjoy it how you enjoy it, and you make that walk, and just know when you make that walk, you know, that you're making that walk of tradition. You know, that's something that Valley champions have walked before. A lot of guys who started what Dinuba football was made that walk before, and then, you know, having the guys that I have on my staff see it, and we were there at one point, and being able to see our kids walk, make that walk, and just have that excitement going into that, it's been awesome, man.
Yeah, great atmosphere, man. When I was a kid, I used to go to the Dinuba Emperors football games. There'd be a little guy there in the stands. Sometimes I'd go down there on the field and just, man, everybody just looked huge back then. Like, man, that guy is a beast, right? So, yeah, the Emperor football is something real special. And I got to throw this out here, right, Siege? Whenever we get together, talk about, you know, our time together, because you were at Munson Sultana. We coached against each other for a little bit, and then before moving on to Dinuba. But, man, I'm conflicted, though. I got to keep it real. So two of my kids on my – yeah, you know where I'm going with this. On my eighth grade varsity flag football team at Traver, they play for Dinuba. My starting quarterback and my starting skill guys are wearing Dinuba jerseys on Friday, and we're in Kingsburg area. So, I mean, God, I mean, I'm coaching these kids up, but I'm coaching them up for you, even though it's flag football, right? I know they play tackle, but – it's a lot of pressure on me, man. I gotta develop some of these kids for you, and now I got Kingsburg hating on me. So what do I do?
Yeah. Oh, man, you tell them, hey, you know CJ like I know CJ, man. It's all love, and I'm always look out for them no matter what. So it's all good, man. So yeah, just keep developing them. Let them throw that thing, let them run it around, and let them have some fun, man. And they do that, they're going to be some good dynamic football players here in a short few moments, man.
All right, sounds good. I'll keep it real with you. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll develop them. We'll win some games for Traver, and then when they get to you, they'll win some games for Danuba High. All right, one last thing, Siege. We got about 30 seconds here. Just like moving forward with this program and with this team, what are you looking forward to most with this 2025 school team?
Oh man, I'm looking forward to the resiliency, man, because I know they have some tough teams coming up that we're gonna play. And I just want to see how they build throughout the year. You know, I think this is a springboard game for us where our guys see what they're capable of, and now it's time to put some more games together and some more quarters together and take one play at 1-0. You know, win every play. And that has to be our mindset from here on out, is just win every play and let's get to the next one. And so I'm really excited to see the resiliency and see where they're at once we get into league play, because I mean, league play is a gauntlet. You know, there's no gimmies in that league that we play in. And I like it because it'd be a better coach as far as, okay, you don't have you're not going to match them with the athletes, but how are you going to match them thematically? And I feel like for me, that's made me a really great coach as far as being able to put our guys in the right place and give them an opportunity to be successful. And I love that for our guys.
All right, Siege, good stuff. We gotta let you go right now, but thanks for coming on. Always great to catch up with you, and good luck the rest of the year, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you.
All right, appreciate him. All right, Austin Kemp is coming up next after break on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday. I think I've only done one show from the studio, and that was because our system that we call the Comrex, it wasn't able to connect to the Wi-Fi. It was one of those crazy times where, boom, ran to the studio, did my show from there. But, what, year number five, a few times, what, five, four times four, 40 shows, 160, or we're about 170-ish shows, which is a lot of high school sports talk. And I love talking about the games, the student athletes, the good stuff, right? There's a lot of crazy stuff going out there, in the world. Why spend precious minutes talking about that stuff, right? When you can talk about the great student athletes and teams and playoffs and all that stuff. All right, so I mentioned Austin Kemp is coming on to break down the track. What we like about these teams so far, where we might see them need to improve a little bit, right? We could be honest on this show. And Austin is sitting to my left. He's my former podcast partner. Do you remember those days, Austin? The podcast days where we set up in my game room and just chop it up for like, I don't know, hour.
Yeah, we had we were surrounded by pinball machines and arcade games that were in your garage. I never actually got to play them, though, so I think you were holding out on me a little bit.
I mean, they were always on, right? Mm-hmm. They're always on, but yeah, we were just be sitting there talking about high school football. But now we're surrounded by Letterman's jacket. Where's the Buchanan one? I never mentioned Buchanan because there isn't one out there. What's there?
No, there isn't one.
It might be
behind,
on the rack.
I saw it on the rack. It's the blue with the white sleeves. It's
a little bit of red. Is there any red?
There's a little bit of like piping that was right. That one right there. It's walking right by us out of the store.
It looks familiar because that might even be the manual one that I have.
Might be.
Do you have yours?
I do.
You bought one?
Yeah.
Your brother got one too?
He actually didn't. And he actually would have had more like personal accolades to put on.
Yeah.
So he would have been the one to get one, but I don't think he did.
You got a national championship baseball one on there?
Yeah, that one looks legit. I got a few Valley title ones too.
I mean, do you have it like on the chest or is it on the back?
The national championship one is it's like a cutout of the United States with the writing.
Ooh.
That's right on the front. And then the track champion and the Valley championship ones are all on the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. in your closet? I know you're married now. You got a son. You got your own house. You transported it.
I still have it. I haven't put it on in 15 years, but it's still front and center in the closet. I don't know if my wife likes it, but I keep it there.
Keep it there. You got to keep it there. All right. Do you love this time of year? Right, first full week of the Big Three: the high school, college, and pro. Is this like your favorite time of the year? I know you're a baseball guy, obviously, but like you love this time of the weekend.
It's a different kind of fun because baseball is a blast, but you're definitely like you're in it as a coach, right?
Yeah.
And you're grinding every single day. And football, at least for me, because I'm not coaching it, you can kind of just sit back. You can enjoy it as a fan. You can go to different games without really much stock into it and kind of just sit back and have fun and watch it and form opinions.
I mean, football, watching football is an experience, right? And it's set up to be that way, especially on TV, right? Mm-hmm. The production value, the stories behind it. You don't really get that with baseball as much as far as watching it, right? Go to a baseball game. I actually enjoy going to a baseball game more than a football game. But the football experience is definitely just one that you – right? You just kind of take everything in.
No, for sure. And, football is the biggest sport in the United States, and it's such a bonding experience, whether you're watching high school football or college football or pro football. It brings people together. So it's like the ultimate bonding for people who love sports. It's like,
last week, let's be honest, right? Big Ohio State winner, you're a huge Ohio State guy. When you get together with your guys and you're watching a game, you're all in. You're maybe even throwing stuff. Mm-hmm. You're dropping a few choice words. It's the full deal.
Yeah, we had through a little watch party at 9 a.m. yesterday because of the big noon kickoff. But yeah, you get together, you freak out after the first possession if things don't go as planned,
right.
And you say your words.
It's gonna be horrible.
And then after the first touchdown, it all reverses and everything's great again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a sports fan experience for sure. All right, so you, as well as me, were at the Clovis West and Edison of Stockton game last night. Tenveer, who's producing the show, was there as well. Did a good job of breaking it down, man. Amazing stuff by him, our stat guy as well. What were your takeaways from that? We mentioned the great first half. We saw defensively made some plays on offense. Second half, Titus Dimmer interception was about it. So what were your takeaways?
Yeah, so the final was 23-13, like pretty low scoring, I think, compared to maybe what most of us maybe thought going in, especially after a Clovis West blowout against Liberty last week when they put up like 48. As far as last night, you have to start with J.J. Howard, right? One of the best players, not just quarterbacks, I'd say, in the section. A guy who's super in control, knows the offense. Knows where to put the ball, stuff like that, all the physical traits, all the mental traits, I feel like. But, that game, when you're watching it, that was like two plays away from maybe coming down to the wire. Clovis West, their first possession, I believe, they had a fourth and goal from the 15. They don't have a field goal kicker that can make something in that range, so they had to go for it, and they kind of threw a 50-50 ball up to R.J. Jefferson for a touchdown. Great play on both ends, but not a high percentage play.
Nope,
so then
nope.
It's like, okay, they didn't get lucky, but they kind of got away with one there. And then to start the second half, they had a Titus Dimmer pick six. And those are just two types of plays that you can't really count on week to week. So I think Clovis West was kind of fortunate to have those plays because, Edison did a pretty good job keeping that offense in check most of the night. They couldn't really get anything going on offense, credit to Clovis West, but, 23-13 could have easily been something like, 14-13, in the fourth quarter. So a lot closer than I think I thought it would be. But J.J. Howard is definitely legit at quarterback, and he's gonna go down as one of the best quarterbacks in the section by the time he's done here.
And Jefferson is a legit number one receiver, right? Like he stands out. The setup of that touchdown catch on 4th and 15 that you referenced, right? There was like this 50-yard, right, where Howard's rolling out to the right, catches it. He throws a little bit ahead. He probably catches in strides and is able to get in the end zone. But, his big playability is definitely a weapon.
No, I agree. And he's super quick and super twitchy. And you even saw that on the opening kickoff when he caught it on the right hash mark and then – I made a few guys miss and then ended up on the other side of the field. super twitchy. But you know what impressed me the most about J.J. Howard was his second touchdown. It was a post to Tafoya. Mm-hmm. And he got – there was a guy screaming off the left side, beat the left tackle, smoked J.J., it looked like, from where I was sitting. And he just threw a seed, perfect location, got up, said some words, which I fired me up. But he's a guy, again, physical traits, mental traits. I do think Clovis West, kind of when you project them going forward, it's going to be a lot of what that offensive line can do. Can they keep Howard upright? Can they give him enough time to get the ball or get the ball out? That's probably my biggest question, and I'm not super sure they will be able to protect him consistently. But if they can, they can go toe-to-toe with a lot of teams in the section.
We saw a lot of different looks offensively. A few tight end sets where they put in extra rock. Because that number 51 for for Edison Stockton, that dude was a load, right? What did he – obviously, we're up in the press box, and I'm not able to see him, but he looked like a dude down there.
No, this is actually a great point because my brother and I were at the game and we were talking. And, you know, when you look at that Edison team, just I feel like individually they were so talented. Mm-hmm. And you look at their guys, and it's like their O-line outweighed Clovis West. Their D-line outweighed Clovis West. You look at some of these athletes, like number one could fly. He was the fastest player on the field.
Absolutely.
They had a slot receiver, number 15, who could fly. And it was a bunch of individual, really good players that didn't really know what to do as a team. And I kind of want to come on here and say that's why I'm so appreciative of a lot of the Clovis schools, because I'm just the most familiar with them. It's like they have programs. They have team programs. They're not just a bunch of guys just doing their own thing, which I felt like Edison was. But I don't know what Edison's record is going to be up there in Stockton, but they have a lot of individually really good players, kind of like you pointed out.
The number one was good.
But Clovis West, just a much better team, and, you know, just did things as a team way better.
Let's move on to Clovis. First two games, right, no contest, big win at CBC, and then the Salinas game that was a running clock was 42-7 at halftime. You know, the game that we broadcast against Salinas, their defense looked legit. Even went on Phil Bonatti's show and said, man, is he any weakness in that defense? That Frontier team was a big mystery. We heard about some of the transfers and, you know, a couple new guys, and weren't meshing those first two games. And then, like, hey, I don't know how this game is going to play out, but I was surprised by the final score, and it was a back-and-forth game. Surprised by that score? What is it? Just high school football? You know, I mean, how do we explain this thing?
I was shocked, but maybe I shouldn't have been. It's so interesting how 1 week can change the narrative of maybe what you think of a team. Because, I mean, leading up after, I mean, coming to the preseason with all the stuff Clovis had, I was saying, like, they're probably a Valley title or bust team this year. They have all the talent. There's no excuse anymore. And then they roll CBC, who's a cupcake game. Salinas, they played that game for whatever rivalry thing. It's not really a rivalry, but two inferior teams. And then they go to Frontier, and Frontier's been struggling the first 2 weeks of the season.
One touchdown in each game.
Yeah, 7 points each game. So you're looking at that, and you know Frontier has multiple Division I guys, and you're just like, well, are these guys just overhyped? Are they good but maybe didn't really do anything over summer? I don't know. So I was picking Clovis West or Clovis High to roll Frontier, and then they go down there and lose by one. So, I mean, we know Frontier has the talent, and we had been kind of waiting for that all season, for that talent to show itself. But, you know, at some point, you know, you have this great group of seniors at Clovis High. It's like, when is that time going to happen? You know, when are they going to win that big game? When are they going to kind of go on that run that they've kind of been hyped up to, like this class, I feel like, been hyped up for all these years. So you're still kind of waiting for Clovis High to take that opportunity and take that next step and get over the hump and be that dominant class that people expect them to be.
You weren't at the Salinas game, right?
No.
So you haven't seen them up close?
Haven't seen Clovis in person, just over just on the computer.
Okay. I heard that Briggs didn't play either.
That's what I heard. Okay. I heard Briggs didn't play. Merrill, I'm a big Maddox Merrill fan. Someone had mentioned maybe he got banged up late in the game. And then one guy that's really been standing out to me this year has been Clovis's backup running back, Caruso. That dude is a stud in the making. I think he's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
So again, Clovis High they have all the weapons. They have the two-headed monster at running back. They have the quarterback. They have the tight ends, both of them. They have the receiver. So surprising loss last night. Maybe it shouldn't have been. Maybe we were too harsh on Frontier to start the year, but Frontier definitely has the talent. And I mean, if they can beat Clovis, they should be able to beat anyone else going forward.
Los Gatos next week at home for the Cougars, and then a Thursday game against Bullard. That's going to be at McLean. All right, so let's move on to Central. Nice win to open up the season, Inglewood, in that game at mm-hmm. Grant, and then come back against Turlock at home and played really well. So Coach Biggs said that they had a really good week of practice, got more focused, and put up, 44-20. Brandon Smith, over 170 yards, two touchdowns on the ground in the win against Turlock. What do you like about this Central team, and what do you think they need to do moving forward?
Well, first, I think the expectation Central had coming in to this year, it's fair or not, but expectations does create kind of an unrealistic bar for you to hit, and people, including myself and you, were hyping up Central to be this unstoppable machine because of who they had back, and then they go and lose to Grant, and then people start asking questions, but Central's good. They're banged up right now. They're going to get guys back kind of throughout the season. I still think that they're probably – I know last night they played well, but I think they're probably still turning the ball over a little bit, which might be putting them in some tough situations, especially that Grant game. I think Dipple has a couple interceptions on the year. I think they've had a few fumbles lost, and I think they've went for it on downs a few times that didn't convert. So you start doing the math there, they might have like 6 or 7 turnovers in 3 games, which they'll clean up, and those are things that you can clean up. They're still the favorite, in my opinion, especially once they get those injured guys back. But, I mean, Central's a team you never have to worry about. As long as Coach Biggs is there, I'm just such a believer in what he does and what he's done with that program. They're going to be there at the end. They play that same Edison-Stockton team this week that Clovis West just played.
All right, so let me just ask you this. Like, do you see Central putting up 40 against that defense that you saw last night?
So, Edison against Clovis West did a good job. I feel like controlling the clock on some, like they had a couple of really long drives where they milked like 5-6 minutes off the clock. Mm-hmm. I don't see that happening against Central. I could see, I see something more along the lines of like 42-14. So like last night was 23-13. I think Central's going to hammer them a little bit, quite a bit more than Clovis West did.
Brandon Smith is one of those dudes, right? Just mm-hmm. so fun to watch. He's electric. The second half of last year was absolutely amazing, right? When you got athletes like that, I mean, what type of an advantage do you have going into every game, knowing you can dial up a few plays and, right, 60-70% of the time that's going to go for a big game?
Yeah, I just got done talking about Coach Biggs and how great he is, which he is, but sometimes people say, what is it? It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes. So, you know, especially in high school football, at the end of the day, if you have a guy who's just a beast and better athletically than 90% of people on the field, it's a nice kind of get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
He can kind of do things on his own and makes you look really good. Even if you are good, he might make you look unreal, right? So Brandon Smith is a guy that you can ride the entire season. You know, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be probably the most productive back in the section, I say.
And Harris, Bayon Harris.
That was our guy last year.
That was our guy early in the year, right? Was it that Central and Clovis East game? Like, man, that guy looks like a dude. Throw the ball to this guy.
Last year, you and I were sitting at La Monica when Central was playing East in the regular season, and we were like, oh, my gosh, he was number 18. That guy looks like a stud. And he was a sophomore at the time, and I don't think he was, like, insanely involved in the offense last year. He was out there.
Yeah.
I don't think he was insanely, like, involved yet. But he's lighting it up this year. He's gonna be a Division I receiver, and he's playing some defensive end as well and being pretty productive as well.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to Clovis North. They had a bye last night. Put up a lot of points against San Joaquin Memorial in week one. Good win against Redwood. They got a touchdown late in that one. Did you see that Tulare Union and Redwood score?
Yeah, Tulare won by 7, right?
Yeah, 49-42.
Yep.
Right? They have CBC, San Ramon Valley, and then a lot of teams in the Central section are on a bye. Looks like that is September 26th. They got Frontier at home, so that game automatically becomes very intriguing after Frontier beating Clovis. A few things we can assess, I suppose, right, just by eyeballs and whatnot, or eyes on the computer. But Clovis North, where are you at with them?
So that is the one team I haven't seen yet. So this is me just kind of box score watching and just talking to people who are there, but I obviously like to get my own eyes on it. The transition from, you know, being a power run team to that spread offense is going seemingly well so far. I know they haven't had the toughest schedule in the world, but that Redwood win was a really good win. I think Redwood's probably a Division One, 1A team,
yeah,
in the playoffs. So that's a quality win. I think it's just it's going to come down to that defense. I mean, Redwood put up a lot of points. CVC not going to challenge them. Memorial obviously didn't challenge them. I think it's just going to come down to that defense and see how many stops they can get. But that offense looks like, you know, it's similar to what Clovis East did last year. They don't have all the athletes that they did, but they're putting it together. It'll look good some weeks. It'll look probably a little bit quirky some weeks still, especially as the competition gets ramped up. But I don't think we're going to know a whole lot about Clovis North until, like you said, that September 26th Frontier game.
And Colby Hunter, you know, was in charge of the offense the last few years before this year at Clovis East, is now the head coach in there. So similar thoughts on offense, but he's now taken to Clovis. All right, so Clovis East, the 3-0 Timberwolves, beat Bullard in week one, beat Kingsburg in week two, and just kind of manhandled Sanger 29-6. You were right on that one, AK.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? You did see that Bullard game against Clovis East, so you had eyeballs on that one.
Yeah, I think Clovis East is the best and most physical front seven that I've seen thus far. You can only see so much, like, when you're watching on the computer and things, but the teams I've seen in person, I think that D-line is they get after it, and they have some good bodies, and they stonewall a lot of offensive linemen, and they provide a good pass rush. So I think that defense is going to keep them in pretty much every section game that they play in. And then you look on the offensive side of the ball, it's sometimes it's okay, sometimes it looks not great, but the Jamie Spurgeon, the junior quarterback for Clovis East, is it all runs through him. He gets most of the carries. He does everything, obviously, in the pass game as the quarterback, and they will go as far as he takes them because he is their entire offense. And I hope he stays healthy the whole year because they do put a lot of workload on him. But as a runner, that dude is electric. In the throw game, he can make throws. I think sometimes he sees his eyes might fool him sometimes on certain things because he does have a few bad turnovers. But that's going to be a defensive first team this year. And I do like that defense, especially in section games. Maybe not this week against Grant.
They go at Grant. So Grant gets two of our central section teams at home. So you got a feeling either way? Like, would you be surprised if Clovis East took that one?
I'd be surprised. I haven't seen enough consistency from the offense to say they are going to go on the road and beat a good team. But this is going to sound weird. I think Central is the best team in our section, but I wonder if Clovis East matches up with Grant maybe a little bit better because of that front seven on defense. Maybe they can limit Grant more. Maybe they can get after the passer a little bit more. If Clovis East gets behind like Central did against Grant, like 14-0, Central kind of came back a little bit before it petered out in the fourth quarter. If Clovis East gets behind like that, they're not going to have any shot.
Yeah, right. Field position is going to be huge, turning the ball over, right? Like all those things, like in a lot of football games. But I think that'd be especially big in that Clovis East and Grant game next week. All right, we got to go back here to Buchanan. 2-1 on the season, lost that opener to Bakersfield. A couple Thursday games, right? So they played Edison Fresno on Thursday, and then next week, Liberty at home. Your assessment of the Bears so far?
Yeah, so I've seen the Bears a few times now. I mean, I've been able to watch one of their games in person and the other two on the computer. They, you know, they have a capable quarterback who's young. He's still, I feel like, you know, he's playing varsity football for his first time, so he's going to go through those natural growing pains, but he has the talent. He has a good feel out there. He can get the ball, you know, generally where it needs to be. I like those running backs that you can have, Gannon Sever and Carvell Wafer, when they get their touches.
And the quarterback, you didn't even mention his name.
Oh,
Devaney.
And the quarterback, yeah. Tommy DeVay.
Yeah,
sorry,
Tommy.
Sorry, I missed you, Tommy. but, you know, it's going to come down on offense to, you know, can that offensive line consistently open up holes? Can they pass protect? And I think that's their biggest issue right now. You know, that Bakersfield game was really tough. Bakersfield got after them on defense. And there wasn't a whole lot there for the Buchanan offense in that one. So this is going to be a gigantic test this week for, against Liberty. I know Liberty isn't what they used to be, but they're still, yeah. They're still, you know, they're closer to the top programs than they are to the bottom programs. And it's going to come down to the O-line, and it's the skill positions. Are they going to be able to create separation? I don't think they do that consistently enough right now. So those are probably the two biggest questions on offense for Buchanan right now. I know that Edison scored 30 last week. I think people were freaking out too much about that. It was that Buchanan beat Edison, 48-30? But that was a 41-8 game,
yeah,
deep in the third quarter. So, you don't want to give up 30, but and I'm not making an excuse, but that was a 41-8 game at one point.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah. Could have been a running clock
it
at one point,
it
right?
Could have been.
All right, so Austin, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Again, thank you for coming on. As always, fun to chop it up with you. All right, so if we were to put the six track schools into tiers, right, kind of the high school ratings does that with their rankings. If a couple teams are close to each other that they think, right, they'll put a little separation and put them in a chunk. So if we were to chunk the track, mm-hmm, like how would you do that right now?
So before we say this, I do think, when you look at the entire central section, I think every track team is like a top 10 to 12-ish team. I don't think, like, so like when we do these tiers, if we have someone in this last tier, that doesn't think, like, I don't think they're like 20. I think they're still like a top 12 team,
well,
based
on
what I've seen.
I agree. Okay, so I'll try to bring this up on high school ratings, right? So I think it's populated enough a little bit. I disagree just with my own eyeballs as far as the rankings go. I think everybody would. You know, high school ratings is where the CIF takes their playoff, and that's how they sort it. So it's kind of a fun thing, maybe after week three, maybe now, right, to kind of look at it and see if it matches up with us. So, yeah, let's say even like the lower tier of the track is probably, what, 11th, 12th, 13th in all of the central section.
Yep.
They're all based D1.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
100%.
All right. So we're prefacing it with that.
So I am still going to put Central in a tier of their own at the top. I think there are teams that can, again, match up with them, maybe give them a game, but I still think Central is in a tier of their own. And then that second tier is the most interesting to
right?
me, with Clovis
yeah.
High, Clovis West, and Clovis East. And I'm just going to put those three in that tier kind of by themselves right now. Those are games when those three teams play their little triangle cycle. I think any team could win those games against each other. They all have different strengths. They all have different weaknesses. So like when Clovis plays Clovis West, if Clovis wins that one, I wouldn't be shocked. If Clovis West wins that one, I wouldn't be shocked either. And then in that third tier right now, based on, again, what we've seen so far, I think I'm going to put just Buchanan and Clovis North in there right now. But Buchanan has a chance this week to make some noise, because that would be a pretty good win against Liberty.
I agree. Okay, so let me just go back really quick. There it is. So there's highschoolratings.com. Again, I paid, what, $40 for the year to get 20 looks a day. Kind of strange. But anyway, here it is. So Central East is one, and they have populated it. Looks like Clovis North, they only got two games in. Clovis East, they got them at two, got North at three. So that's one of the discrepancies that that I think that this holds right now. Clovis West at four, Clovis at five. So there you go, right? Five of the first, well, the first five.
Are all track
teams. All track teams.
Yeah.
Bakersfield Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Sneaky good this year. There's Frontier, then Bakersfield, then Tulare Union. Then Bullard, then Liberty of Bakersfield, and then there's Buchanan sitting at 12 with a 2-1 record.
Yeah. And then Buchanan at 12, Liberty at 11. That's
Let's settle it next week. Any other thoughts before we wrap stuff up here?
No, I think my biggest questions right now and just wonderings are some of the South Valley teams. I'm honestly super interested in Bakersfield High. I know they're not in that main top tier Bakersfield league anymore, but they're smoking some teams and they're super athletic. And I just kind of wonder. I mean, I think athletically they are built to be in the 1AA division this year. Now the lines and may not be up to par because they're going to play a schedule that might not prepare them for that. But if they get in that, I mean, they're trending towards being in that top playoff division. So I'm pretty interested in them because they are absolutely crushing teams.
So Bullard, Dorsey, okay, and then they get into the league with Highland Centennial. All right, let's bookmark that. October 17th, Bakersfield Christian.
Yeah,
and right? That's probably the battle of the best, right? I mean, now Frontier is in the conversation
And Liberty will be hanging. I'll get my first look at Liberty this week.
We will.
But Bakersfield Christian on October 17th, that's going to be a top 10 game according to the computers. One question for you, Bakersfield Christian, do they qualify for the 1AA playoffs?
They can. So they're based D2. You can petition to go up. I mean, again, you got to be in the top quarter. So in the high school ratings, you got to be in that top, I think it's four, right?
Yeah.
And then you'd be able to go
That's
up.
That's something I'd like to see, too.
Well, maybe I'll text Coach Carr, see what he says. Hey, would you be willing to go up to the 1A or AA?
Baseball team does it.
Yep.
Why not the football team?
Yep. How about St. Joe's really quick? Is that a bad word around here now?
No.
Basketball, look what they're doing in basketball, right? Yep. Maybe the championship in baseball.
Yeah.
Football, they got a good little team this year.
They do, and I was pretty high on them, and Tulare beat them in week one. So you're talking about teams who might be in that
Only by three.
Only by three, but that's a great win. And honestly, that might be a win that catapults Tulare in that top division in the playoffs, too. I think they were last year. They opened up at East.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. They were the 8 seed. They weren't happy about that.
They weren't happy, but I mean, hey, man.
It is what it is.
You,
so
you play the games.
Really quick. So Tulare has a bye. Then they got Ridgeview. Another one we got to earmark here. Look at this. These games just pop up, right? You just kind of look at the spreadsheet like, oh, gosh, now that game becomes way more interesting. They're playing Bakersfield Christian on September 26th.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Good job by Tulare for scheduling that game.
I say winner of that game has to play 1AA playoffs.
You want to send a bylaw into the CIF Central Section, right? Say, hey, the winner of that game, you got to go up.
I'll write the email.
Submit it, go to the committee and vote on it. All right, the Austin Kemp bylaw right there. All right, final thoughts, Austin, man. Just it's that time of year where we're dead in the, you know, not quite in the middle, but, you know, high school football is here and college football and all that stuff. Just good stuff, right?
Yeah, and I know, honestly, the only thing that's going to make it a little bit better is when the weather starts to change and you get those crisp, maybe nights, maybe not too cold, but you maybe want some of those nights where you have to bring a sweatshirt. It's like, oh, this feels like
you can
like
still
fun.
Wear shorts or get the long sleeve.
Yeah, and it's like we need to be a little bit cooler to really get in that football mindset, but hey, I'm not going to complain when football's here.
All right, so I'll see you next Thursday, Buchanan and Liberty.
Yeah, come out to baseball before if you got some time.
I got my own football game that day. We're opening up league that day, but yeah, I'll do my best. I'll get there.
For sure. Thanks. All right. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Just such good stuff, AK. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, love to be here.
All right. We'll take a break here, and we got Lewis Franklin, the head coach at Bullard. We're going to talk to him about the win against Hoover and his season, how it's going so far on 1430 ESPN. fun segment with Austin Kemp, breaking down the track, what we like so far, what we think they need to improve in a bit. A few predictions, right? And who could have predicted that Frontier was going to beat Clovis last night as well. So, yeah, thanks to Austin Kemp for coming on for a solid 33 minutes of high school football talk. I did mention that Madera are putting up tons of points. They put up over 40 points in their first three games, 3-0 on the season, and they have a stud freshman running back. He just got some stats from KP, from their head coach, Anthony Estrada, 23 carries for 174, three touchdowns. He was averaging 17 yards a carry before in the two previous games. So, yeah, that guy's a dude. He's going to be a fun kid to watch over the next years as well. We got Lewis Franklin, the head football coach at Bullard, high on the line right now. The Knights are 2-1 on the season. They played Thursday at McLean Stadium, defeated Hoover 56-0. And always great to catch up with Coach. He's very welcoming to me in practices, and he's always texting me back really quick. So love to talk to Coach Franklin. So we got him on the line right now. How you doing, Coach, this morning?
Coach, doing great. Thanks for having me on. It's always an honor and privilege to be on your show. We love everything you do for the high school athletes in the Valley, so thank you again.
I think this is our first time doing a phone conversation, right? Usually you're sitting to my left and we're chopping it up. But what'd you do last night? Like, your game was Thursday. Were you out scouting? Were you with the fam, or what were you doing?
Yeah, I have I have the coaching sickness. If you're not working, you feel like you're getting behind. So we're able to go out and watch the first half of Sanger and Clovis East. Really wanted to see kind of a common opponent early, seeing how we're looking, you know, to them, and just seeing how the teams develop. And then got home. My daughter hosted a water polo sleep overnight, so that was fun. And they were at the Clovis West game. So, you know, just kind of doing all the things, like you said, all the things.
All the things that make a coaching great, parenting great, and right, and being a husband, and all that stuff wrapped into one.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's kind of walk through a little bit of your game Thursday. You know, big rivalry in the past with Hoover, the Battle of Barstow. How did you feel like your team executed? Obviously, you put up a lot of points, but execution was on point. Was that kind of what you guys game plan for, and as a staff, and hope for in that one?
Yeah, most definitely. We had to kind of scale things back and really focus on being a little bit more efficient offensively. Defensively and special teams, we've been off to a fast start. I think those two units have been ahead of the offensive unit. I think it's a little bit of youth, and it's a little bit of high expectations, and we just haven't been operating at the capacity we need to when you play these better teams and get into CMAC play. And you've kind of seen that so far. Slow starts, in game one against Clovis East. They obviously had a big reason why we started off slow. They're just, really physically imposing, dominating. And then we had the away game, in SoCal. Didn't really, kind of took the first half off offensively. And then we kind of started clicking the second half, and it was nice to be able to carry some positive momentum into the Hoover game and get through that game. Figured, a little bit healthy and, just operate where we kind of the expectations are and the standards are of the offense, so feeling better. But, you wake up and you got to face, the winningest team in California this Friday. So another challenge, right? I love it. So that's why we do it.
Yeah, that's the Drillers. I want to get to that game in just a second. So in the Hoover game, your son Tyler had four touchdowns, 319 yards. You talk about efficiency, 18 for 21 passing the football. You had a lot of balance, man. Looking at the stats, I like it. Your little running back was impressive, about 12 carries for 76 yards and three touchdowns. Your main receiver, nine catches for 112 and a touchdown. But, Dixon, how about that? 136 and three touchdowns as well. Like, who are some of those, or maybe some, an unsung guy that performed in that game on Thursday against Hoover?
I'd have to look at two of our captains, Austin Ladd. He's a senior, just abs all over the place. Free safety, physically imposing at his very light frame. He is just the glue to offense and defense for us. He's awesome. And then Clarence Phillips, number 11, he's a junior, another captain. Just those guys do everything right. They lead the right way. You know, they're definitely never going to skip a step. They're going to hold kids accountable to the standard and make sure that, you know, they're doing their best around them. And we love those guys. And both of them played, you know, very, very well in that game. So that was awesome.
So looking back at those three games that you've played, just all different types of games, right? Like how did the Bakersfield game, or sorry, the Clovis East game prepare you for Mayfair, and how did the Mayfair game prepare you for Hoover? And now, how did all three of those games then are going to prepare you for the game against Bakersfield at home?
Yeah, great question. I felt like last year's scheduling that we inherited, it just didn't have us ready for that big second half at Bakersfield, you know, 1-point game going in the fourth quarter, and we fell apart. And it was a lot of self-infliction. So this year we felt the adversity. You know, we've had, unfortunately, some injuries and some other guys step up. So we've kind of had to battle it all year. That's just been this year, right, is just next man up, and let's play some good ball because we're playing good teams, and it's helping us for playoffs. We like where we're at rating-wise. We're trending, you know, we want to be with the big boys, and we know we got a lot of work to do. Bakersfield, all those games provided unique personnel, you know, chess matches, physical chess matches. And I feel like, you know, we have a lot more answers now coming into this game. And we know a lot more about our team in this moment, you know, for hosting Bakersfield this Friday at McLean.
7:30 game. It's a game that we are scheduled to broadcast on 1430 ESPN. So you might see me at another practice this week, Coach. So
I love it.
If you see my bald head lurking on the sidelines, I'll be there checking you guys out. All right, so let's talk a little game plan against them. I'm sure you've started to watch film a little bit. We know their physicality. We know they love to run the football. Obviously, last year they graduated some dudes, but you know the style of football that they have. Like, what are Bakersfield's, some of their strengths, and what are maybe what some of their things that you're going to try to exploit against the Drillers?
Yeah, I think Bakersfield done a good job of being really run dominant, run heavy. Now they're a little bit more balanced. They have some good overall team speeds, very impressive watching their film against Buchanan, because that's a good solid team at Buchanan. So we saw some film against them and their other opponents that they played. And I think what they do is they're just tenacious. They love football. You can tell it. You know, they're excited about it. Their sidelines are celebrating when teammates are making big plays. And, you know, it's just a different guy making a play all the time. And, you know, that's nice. They have a lot of depth there. They graduated a ton of guys on defense. But, man, you couldn't tell watching film. You see a lot of the same numbers doing a lot of the same things the guys did last year. Like, uh-oh. How'd they get another one of those guys, right?
Well, I heard their JV team went 10-0 last year.
That was,
right, so
the
they
most
knew how to win football games.
Lower level team. Yeah, that is the most lower impressive lower level team we saw in a long time. They just buzzsawed through everyone, and they did a good job of keeping all those guys together. So this team's going to be dangerous for years to come.
All right, then you got Clovis High, and then you start C-Mac play. We got about another 4 minutes with you here, Coach. Again, you do an amazing job there at Bullard. And your son is the quarterback. You brought him over from Clovis West when you were there. Just talk about the relationship that you have with him. You know, I've talked to a lot of coaches who have coached, you know, their sons or daughters, and you all got different types of experiences. But I know he's a chip off the old block. He's a student of the game as well. But what have you really enjoyed seeing the progression of your son to now his senior year?
You know, really just the leader he's become and becoming, because we know football will end for all our kids at some point. And just seeing him, you know, just talk to his teammates and, you know, hey, that's not what we're doing. We're not doing it that way. Correcting teammates in a way a kid can. And if a coach wants to do it, it'd be like, oh, coach is picking on me, right?
Yeah.
So it's just seeing the leadership develop, you know, through the years, where you're just going like, man, he's gonna be a really good whatever he wants to go pro in, right? You know, those old NCAA commercials. So it's like it's nice to see him develop and mature that way, because I know it's hard for kids these days to be vocal leaders and hold kids accountable, and it's nice when you're seeing like guys like Tyler do that, and Austin Ladd, and you know the and Cade Branch is another one, and you know it's just trying to get these kids to be like, hey, you know, as peers, we can help hold each other to a higher standard. It is okay to do that, and we're going to try to do it in a respectful way. So it's been nice to do that. And I like his relationship with Chase Case, the stud freshman we have quarterback, just trying to, you know, give him all the tidbits of the offense that he's grown up in and around, you know, just in the coach's office. Is like, you know, what a great thing for Tyler to mentor the next guy, you know, that's going to be a stud for us. So it's been really neat to see that leadership and mentorship from him.
And I know you are an athletic family. Is there something that the old man still does better than I know Tyler's not here to defend himself, but like, can you basketball wise, can you still shoot better than him? Can you, you know, throw a 50-yard, you know, out on the run like him, or like, is there something okay. that you still hold
Great
over
question.
Him?
I would still say so. Yeah, we our family is very competitive. We had this summer we did a water polo, basketball, football toss into a basketball rim. Between all the kids, right, because of the daughters. We had to include them in this. And, yeah, they've never beat me in a shooting or throwing drill yet, Ooh. All the kids. So I think that time is ending because I don't play catch as much anymore because the body just doesn't love it as much. You know, it feels good in the moment but not the next day, if you know what I mean, Paul.
of course I do.
I still have the accuracy on them. I haven't thrown it velocity-wise in a while, but, yeah. We still get after it, all the kids.
All right. That's good stuff as always. Well, Coach Franklin, always great to catch up with you. And it's college football Saturday. It's NFL Sunday. So football is definitely in full swing, and we are here for it. Thanks, and I really appreciate you. I'll talk to you this week.
Sounds great, Paul. Looking forward to it. See you guys.
All right. Coach Franklin, head coach of the Bullard Knights. Good conversation with him. All right, so let's wrap everything up. So good slate of games next week. We previewed a lot of stuff on today's show. Like I mentioned with Coach Franklin, we are going to be broadcasting Bullard and Bakersfield on September 12th on 1430 ESPN. I think Coach Hill is going to be here with us. Yeah, Coach Hill was with us for the Salinas and Clovis game, and whenever he's in town, we're able to get him on our Friday broadcast as well. Big Fresno State game today as well at 12:30. Can't wait for that kickoff. Big week of football. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you as always. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting all the wonderful student athletes here in the Central Valley. Big thanks to Jorge, Tanvir. We got interns here. We got the video broadcast as well. So lots of good stuff happening here at 1430 ESPN. Thanks to CJ Lester from Dinuba for coming on the show. Thanks to Austin Kemp and Coach Franklin as well. Have a good rest of the weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.